Dear Chairman, dear audience, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers and the scientific committee for the opportunity that I can be here and present to you some of our results. And of course, I would like to congratulate Professor Kavadorka on the occasion of his birthday. In my talk, I would like to speak about the mechanism of the hydrogen activation by a class of main group compounds and the importance of secondary interactions in this mechanism. Let me start with a very short introduction of the Lewis acids and bases. As it is well known, these compounds react with each other by forming a dative bond, and the strength of this dative bond depends on several factors. These include electronic and steric factors. It has long been known that steric effect can even block the dative bond formation. So therefore, it was not a particularly big surprise that this sterically crowded phosphine molecule with this strong but sterically also crowded borane molecule does not form a dative bond at all experimentally. However, it was really surprising that when the solution of these two molecules was exposed to an atmosphere of hydrogen and the precipitate formed, which was identified to be a phosphonium hydride borate compound. That is, this is a heterolytic activation of the hydrogen molecule. For transitional metals, direct reaction with hydrogen is a well-known and well-understood process, but only a handful of compounds exist that are made only from main group elements and can do this reaction. And even a few of them is able to do this reaction at room temperature and atmospheric pressure. As you can see here in the reaction, three components are reacting with each other. The truly trimolecular reaction could hardly account for the observed high reaction rates. It is expected that some kind of intermediate is formed, some kind of pre-complex is formed between the reactants. And this is the part of the mechanism. The original author suggested two possibilities, pre-complexation of hydrogen with either the borane or the phosphine molecule. This type of coordination of hydrogen to borane is actually known for BH3, and it's quite analogous to the transitional metal systems. There is also a possibility, of course, to put the hydrogen to coordinate somehow to the phosphine molecule. However, experimentally, none of these possible intermediates were observed. This was the point when we started to study these systems computationally in order to get a better understanding of the mechanism. We first investigated these two bimolecular interactions, and we found that none of these complexes exist for this phosphine and this borane, so they cannot account for the mechanism. However, if we consider the interaction of the phosphine and the borane, we found that although no dative complex exists, there do exist a weak complex which is held together by secondary forces in which the phosphorus boron distance is quite large and the boron is planar, so there is no dative bond at all, but still it has an appreciable binding energy around 11 kcals per mole. This number was calculated with the MO5-2 extensive functional, which is expected to provide a reasonable accuracy for dispersion boron systems, and this is one possibility to deal with these systems. And in the rest of my talk, I will usually present you MO5-2 results. But we also did several calculations with the SES-MP2 method, and we found that the energies are usually quite close to each other, so they seem to be reliable. We termed this complex a frustrated complex, and it has one of its interesting features is that it is a really highly flexible. If we see this potential energy surface with respect to the phosphorus boron distance, it can be seen that it can be changed by almost 1 angstrom at an energetic cost of only 2 kcals per mole. But this flexibility covers not only the changing of the PB distance, but only the opening up the complex sideways in order to let the hydrogen in and interact with both active centers, both the phosphorus and boron centers. this interaction can lead to us through a single transition state to the observed product. And here you can see this single transition state with the hydrogen interacting with both centers. This transition state is a very early one. The hydrogen is only slightly elongated relative to its equilibrium length. And the barrier is also quite low. Let us now investigate what kind of interactions are responsible for this low barrier of hydrogen splitting. And it is apparent that this is a simultaneous electron donation from the phosphorus lone pair to the sigma star orbital of hydrogen, and simultaneously from the sigma orbital of hydrogen to the boron empty orbital. Both these electron donations weaken the hydrogen molecule, and this process is quite analogous to what happens in the case of homolytical hydrogen splitting with transition metals. However, there is a big difference here. In this case, in order to facilitate the orbital interactions, the hydrogen molecule gets polarized, which can easily be seen from this electron density difference map, which shows the difference of the electron density of the transition state with respect to the prepared hydrogen molecule and the prepared frustrated complex. You can see the gain on the of the electron density on the boron side of the right hydrogen atom. So, in order to summarize the model of hydrogen splitting, one of the crucial points is that the secondary interaction, dispersion, and CHF hydrogen bonds provide a possibility for the phosphine and borane molecules to associate to a pre-complex, a frustrated complex, which provides a pre-organized active centers for hydrogen splitting. These active centers react cooperatively with the hydrogen molecule. And finally, the absence of the dative bond can be identified as a reactant state destabilization, which provides, which contributes to the exothermicity of the reaction and also to the low barrier. The secondary interactions can not only just responsible for this complex formation, but they can fine-tune this reaction. If we consider these two amine-borane pairs, which were recently investigated experimentally, we can see that the rate of the reaction differs. The first case we observe 60% conversion in 1 hour. In the other case, with this more bulky amine, we observe just 10% of conversion. These experimental facts can be explained if we consider the potential energy surpluses of this amine-borane pairs, which are shown here. It can be seen that for the smaller vinacridine base, the interaction is quite good for a large NB distance range, and even the datively bound complex exists as a local minimum on this potential energy surface, although the binding energy is just around 8 kcal per mole. And we can also identify the frustrated complex with an NB distance of around 3.5 angstroms. However, for the more bulky tetramethyl pyrrolidine, the frustrated complex which forms has a NB distance which is almost 1 angstrom larger, and the interaction quickly becomes repulsive to try to push the molecules together. This fact is expected to hamper the simultaneous electron donation electron acceptance process. And this is indeed the case. We found in accordance with the experiment that the barrier for hydrogen splitting with this molecule is larger. It's about 2 kcal per mole larger than for the hydrogen splitting with the quinacridine. In order to summarize this part, it's clear that in order to describe this reactivity and this reactive difference in an adequate way, a method is required which can appropriately handle the slight balance between the dispersion forces that have together the complexes, the polar repulsion, and the formation of the datively bound systems. So finally, I would like to thank my co-workers with whom we worked on this project, particularly to Imre Papai, who was my PhD supervisor when we were doing this research. I would like to thank for the funding for these agencies, and finally I would like to thank for your kind attention. Actually, it is known experimentally that for some pairs this reaction is reversible, so that you can just simply put the hydrogen in and then heat the resulting salt and the hydrogen will come out. So this is actually experimentally proved it's reversible.
The original system is reversible. You simply heat it up and the hydrogen comes out.
Just a small question. I don't quite understand why you need the pre-complex between the phosphorus donor and the boron acceptor. I would say that it makes it only more difficult for H2 to get in between. So all that you need is actually these three systems to come together, right?
Yeah, but otherwise you would need a final apolar collision.
So it's just a probability.
In this way, the probability for meeting with the hydrogen is highly increased.
Okay. As far as I understood, the product of this reaction is a salt, so you probably have some precipitation in there.
Exactly.
Is something like this completely homogeneous? Is it possible to get some process based on this prostrational pairs, but without really crystallization?
Yeah, it's possible. For example, these salts are usually soluble with only slightly porous solvents such as bromobenzene. And indeed, the original system, which Professor Brima mentioned, does not actually precipitate from the solution. So there are indeed cases which are more soluble, and you can do reactions with them.
And what is the problem then?
The site is of a quaternion pair, not only a anion pair, but it remains in the solution.
Soluble because of the large organic. This is not the case, and thank you once again and all the rest of you.